The economy holds out hope for a better jobs picture.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of jobs reports out today could be an optimistic bit of news heading into Friday when we get the Labor Department's all-important July employment report. Payroll company ADP said today private employers added 114,000 jobs. Now, that beat forecasts by 20,000 jobs. But despite the note of optimism, we got some earlier economic data this morning that's a bit more worrisome. And Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live to talk about that. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
So what's the bad news then?
See, I always get stuck with the bad news, right? Well, we learned this morning that job layoffs are at a 16-month high. And that's a report from the job placement firm Challenger, Gray & Christmas. The firm's CEO, John Challenger, says that while the first 3 months of the year saw good jobs numbers, this now marks 3 months of pretty meager job growth.
We may be just in another part of that pattern, but there are increasing concerns that maybe the economy is slowing down and headed towards recession.
Now, he said it, not me, but the specter of another recession is looming, right? I mean, how worried should we be?
Well, I called Jan Randolph. He's director of global risk assessment for IHS Global Insight, and he's not predicting a recession yet. And here's why. Steady job growth is really the last thing you'd expect to happen immediately after a recession. First, we should see other signs of economic life, like companies ordering more stuff and people buying more. But here's more bad news.
We're simply not seeing that yet. U.S. corporates, as well as European corporates, are sitting on an awful lot of cash, but they don't really want to invest.
So Randolph calls this decidedly not a recession, more like an anemic limbo.
Nice place to be. Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Analysts are expecting some tepid earnings this morning from Clorox when it reports later today. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports now that could be troubling news for a company that features so many different products and one big-time wannabe owner.
Most of us know Clorox for bleach, but there's a lot more to the company, says John Sanmarco, an analyst with Janney Capital Markets.
They own Kingsford Charcoal, Glad Trash Bags, Casey Masterpiece Barbecue Sauce, and salad dressings.
From Hidden Valley, the original ranch.
If you don't think bleach goes well with salad dressing, neither do some analysts, like Lisa Bradner of Geomentum.
They are very different brands with very different market share.
She says some of Clorox's brands might be more successful if they were sold off. Activist investor Carl Icahn has made a hostile bid to take over the company.
Icahn has had a strong history of identifying companies that might have had poor management decisions and trying to untrap value for their shareholders.
Brad Barber teaches finance at the University of California, Davis.
So those neglected brands could do better if they were spun off and put under the hands of different management.
After all, the same strategy that makes Glad trash bags sell may be all wrong for kitty litter. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower, 1% or more right now. Time Warner said today its second quarter profit rose by 14% thanks to more ad sales on its TV channel business. For the first time in a couple of years, airlines are reporting a quarterly drop in profits. The International Air Transport Association says carriers are being hurt by higher jet fuel prices and slumping sales. Wall Street yesterday, markets tanked again. The Dow lost 265 points, more than 2%, to close at 11,866.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Crude oil from the Canadian oil sands has become big business here in the U.S., especially in the Midwestern part of the country. The industry's creating jobs, yeah, but some say at a big cost. From the Changing Gears Reporting Project, Dan Bobkoff reports.
The oil sands may be in Canada, but the industry wants you to know that all that tar-like crude means jobs here.
Fact is, developing Canadian oil sands could create more than 342,000 American jobs over the next 4 years.
That number includes everything from companies that make equipment for the oil sands to some that sound like a stretch, like makers of breakfast cereals for all the workers. For now, construction workers are the big winners. Ken Wesley of Detroit had been traveling the country trying to find work as an electrician.
Family and kids, I haven't seen them in about 8 months.
But with oil companies spending billions to expand refineries across the Midwest, he just landed a gig at Marathon Oil's growing Detroit refinery. 1,300 construction workers should be on the job there by fall. It's a similar story at other refineries as they scramble to process more of the tar-like Canadian crude coming in by pipeline. But those pipelines are creating another kind of job, and it's not one to celebrate.
There was heavy oil in this area from bank to bank.
Ralph Dahlhoff of the EPA takes me for an airboat ride on Michigan's Kalamazoo River. A year ago, 800,000 gallons of heavy Canadian crude spilled here from a pipeline. Unlike most conventional oil, this stuff sank. We come across one crew using long poles to stir up the sunken oil.
Are you bringing up much oil here?
And this oil sands crude released volatile organics and benzene into the air. Penny Miller lived near where the spill occurred.
And then the next day my dog died from the fumes too, so I was a mess.
The industry says there's no significant difference between oil sands crude and the regular stuff. And it's easy to see why the Midwest embraces pipelines and refinery expansions. Guys like that electrician Ken Wesley need jobs.
Want to have a good summer?
I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And finally, in New York City, a peacock bolted from its Central Park aviary yesterday, only to turn up minutes later perched five stories up on a Fifth Avenue building ledge. Zoo officials say the 100 or so people below snapping pictures and tweeting about it probably ruffled the bird's feathers even more. Where the bird goes next is anybody's guess, but scientists say birds, of course, of a certain feather flock together. So someone might want to keep an eye out at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, home of NBC. You know, the Peacock Network. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you want to save a furniture store, you ought to get somebody who knows furniture, right?
Quite frankly, most of the investors couldn't tell you the difference between a sofa and a loveseat.
Yeah, I guess not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, Furniture for the Future, and today's business news. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's all next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.